All right, everyone, welcome along to another episode of the Martin's World podcast. Hope you're all well out there, guys. And guys, before I introduce today's guest, I'd like to just remind you that if you want to support the show and support the fight for cannabis legalization in Ireland, you can do so by signing up to the patreon.com/Martin's World, or you can also make a donation in the form of Bitcoin over on the link found on martinsworld.ie. Because all of the funds that will be generated will be used to help fight for cannabis legalization in Ireland, and hopefully someday soon allow me to open up the doors to a cannabis activist hub here in Cork City, which is something I'm really hoping to get done very soon. Today's guest then, guys, is Russell Banta. Russell joins me on the podcast to share with me his experiences as being a person who benefits from medical cannabis here in Ireland, but has to do so legally. Russell's a UCC lecturer with an expertise in material chemistry, and after a bike accident a couple of years ago, Russell was left with a severe chronic pain due to damage done to his jaw, which left him suffering with neurological-based pain. The doctors have basically experimented with Russell over the last number of years, trying him with different medications, and it wasn't until a friend recommended to Russell to try out some medical cannabis that it might be beneficial for his chronic pain. And lo and behold, it was. And he went to his specialist then afterwards, the pain specialist, and tried to get access through his specialist, but was unfortunately unable to do so, much because of the lack of availability of education for the health professionals and because of the stigma that exists around medical cannabis because of its prohibition. So guys, sit back, relax, spark one up if you got it, and enjoy this chat that I have with Russell Banta. And also guys, unlike other interviews, this one was actually recorded live, so we have some interaction there with commenters from the show when it was recorded live. So yeah, enjoy guys. Peace. My guest, Russell, I've met him through the show. Russell got in touch a couple of weeks ago, I suppose, Russell, and you shared with me your own story, and thanks yeah. very much for coming out here and sharing with the audience now your story too, because it needs to be shared more. There's a lot of people out there with going to say what you're going to say in a bit, and the more people coming out here saying this, the better. So, Russell, would you like to go and give yourself a quick introduction?
All right. So my name is Russell. I have a doctorate in chemistry. So I work here in Cork. And it was a few years ago now. I cracked my head off a lorry cycling. And I ended up in hospital, and I had to get staples in my head. I was showing Martin earlier the results of that, and it was like some barbaric kind of like yeah. Frankenstein thing that went on.
It was pretty horrific, then, all right.
Yeah, and I broke my back. So it was T3, T4, T5 that were like cracked, compressed, and fractured.
Yeah. And give people a quick warning, guys. If you're all queasy, maybe look away in the next 5 seconds. But if you want to share with your screen and show them the aftermath of the accident, the extent of the injury that happened.
So I've got like a couple graphic of photos. Is it sharing the right screen?
It is. Yeah. We can see what you
see.
So
this was my head after it. So I think in total, when it went down, it was like 10 staples altogether. And then this is like a couple of the teeth after the crash a year later. So we've got a horizontal fracture here. So that means that tooth, it's the horizontal fracture is too high up for it to hold the tooth in that long, and they can't put a cap there. So we're going to have to pull that tooth out and then like put in a base and put in a fake replacement. Okay. This one beside it now, this one of the dark holes, that's my body decided for some reason that this was like, oh, this is a foreign body. So I'm going to start like eating it from the inside out.
Nice.
And if that had continued for much longer, it would have reached my jaw, mm-hmm. And then my jaw would have started disintegrating. So the solution they came up with was to pull it out and then root canal it from the back, and then put it back in. And that involved this long process of they basically had like spudgies and stuff, and they just worked around the tooth for ages, like for over an hour and a half, just loosening it and just like peeling the gum off of it. And then they slid the tooth out, and they had like 5 minutes or 10 minutes to root canal it from the back. and shove it back in, or the body would completely reject it.
Yeah, okay.
And the tooth was already weak because this has hollowed out the tooth. So then they shoved that back in, and I had to get a local anesthetic, like the 12-hour one, in my face for a week. Every day for like 2-3 hours, because it was fucking excruciating because of the nerve damage. It was beside a fracture, and I had nerve damage then on the bottom of my face. So yeah, and then the worst damage of all, it's not even any of this stuff. It's the nerve damage down here. It's a trigeminal nerve. There's this one spot where the nerve is just completely fucked. Like, it does not register tactile senses the way it's even meant to. And it's not even the pain. I feel like I'm constantly being itched. Like, it's literally like poison ivy all the time. Wow. Unless I smoke cannabis or I take steroids. Mm-hmm. So I was taking steroids for a while. Sorry, Martin, I've taken over your stream. So do you want to ask anything?
No, or? keep going. But by all means, you know, because it's interesting because you suppose that you are an experiment for a while, because as you were just about to say, well, cannabis and steroids.
Oh yeah,
worked.
I feel like a lab rat, man. This is what they feel like.
Yeah.
So right. So I was like, I've taken every fucking drug since then. So, like, I've tried, like, codeine, tramadol, fucking, I'm starting with the higher ones, like Nurofen, I was on prednisolone, which is a steroid. They had to take me off that because that was the only thing besides cannabis that helped with the pain, was a steroid. And a steroid is really bad for you. The reason we love NSAIDs and non-steroidal anti-inflammatories is they're not, like, really bad for your immune system or a bit foggy in the head at the moment.
No, no, you're grand.
Yeah, civil disobedience. But yeah, so the steroids, like, they have all this horrible effects in your body. You try and avoid them normally, and one of them is your vitamin D3 goes like plummeting, and it's vitamin D3 that's really important for, like, your bone strength, I guess. Calcium, not so much. It's vitamin D3.
Yeah.
And it's also important in, like, regulating your skin, like, and stuff like that. So I had all these lesions forming down my back. I was on the steroids so long. I started bruising when I washed myself, man. Like, it was fucking horrible, man. Like, that was the only thing. They won't prescribe it to me anymore because my D3 levels are way too low. And yeah, that was the only thing besides cannabis that's helped so far. I listed it out to the neurologist.
Yeah.
I have a neurologist now.
And would that kind of prescribing of those drugs, would that have been off-label use, as they would have said, I suppose, really? Like, was that what there would have been intended? That's off-label. That's off-label use, yeah.
But it was the only effective thing. Mm-hmm. Like, my pain specialist said, you shouldn't be prescribed steroids because you'll break your back and you don't want to do that. And I was like, excuse me, I've broken my back before. I know what that's like. Mm-hmm. I would like some steroids, please. This can end up getting a lot worse. Man, infuriating.
Yeah, just... in fairness. So, and you found benefit then through accessing cannabis. I suppose to start that one off, which I would like, would you have been using cannabis before your accident?
Nope.
You aren't a consumer of cannabis, so before this.
No.
That's what I was just about to ask. Well, how did you first come to use cannabis?
Just one of my friends who's in the medical scene, he was like, try cannabis.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And I tried it and it worked.
And
I was like,
he made
shit.
This recommendation after seeing, you know, you trying all of these other things. And would you would you shared with him maybe some of the side effects and stuff like that? And
he was just like, cannabis, it's like shown to work with neuropathic pain.
Mm-hmm.
The quote you love that you were writing down earlier, we'll talk about that later. but he was like, the type of pain I have here is neuropathic pain. It's basically the cells here don't respond to tactile responses the same way. So it's like touch hurts a lot more, hot, cold hurts a lot more. It's like, I could eat like bananas. The texture is just like scraping. It's fucking horrible. Itchiness.
Oh, man, that's so weird.
And
the bananas are soft.
Just eases it up. So now I'm meant to be talking to the neurologist now in the next few weeks about going for the ministerial license,
mm-hmm.
because I've tried so many of the drugs. Like I've literally human guinea pigged myself into the point where it's like, it's this or steroids, and they won't give me steroids.
Yeah.
And I'm so, on Tegretol at the moment as well, and that's not working.
So this is a new pain specialist as well, is that right? Or is that the...
It's a neurologist.
Or this is the neurologist. The neurologist now is going to try.
Yeah.
So your pain specialist, you told me earlier what they said, but you approached them and you asked them about getting access to cannabis legally. You'd told them you were using it illegally, yes? Or
and I told them I was using the steroids as well.
Okay.
They told me the steroids, there's no way the steroids were helping my pain. And I was like, okay. And then he told me there was no evidence to support the use of cannabis in the treatment of neuropathic pain, which is bullshit because it's the most studied thing in science right now besides global warming. Like, it's known. Cannabis helps with neuropathic pain. This is a solved secret of science. It's not complicated. Yeah, science is done on this.
There's companies.
There are negative side effects to cannabis. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the benefits, we're pretty solid on that now. Yeah, we know. And he was just like, nope. What I describe him as using a Soviet era organic chemistry book.
Yeah.
That just has chapters on SSRIs.
Yeah, he doesn't have access to Google at all.
That's our healthcare system. That or opiates.
Yeah. You have to wonder, really, what's their game in all of this? Because when you have a patient in front of you, they're saying, hey, doc, look, I'm using this plant medicine, if you will, you know, and I'm using it illegally. There's an avenue in which I can access it legally. And they're sitting on their hands then at that point, leaving you at the mercy of whoever it is that's supplying you your cannabis then.
I just don't think they want to be involved with that program at all. So I was saying to Martin, 20% of people in Ireland have chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you start prescribing for chronic pain, you open up access to 20% of the country. They don't want to do that because they're like, oh, it's going to flood the streets. Like, and society will fall apart and, you know, we'll all become pillaging monkeys, whatever they think is going to happen. Like, you know, what happened with Canada was obviously horrible. Increased tax revenue and healthier citizens and whatnot. But, you know, that's what they think is going to happen if they give people with chronic pain cannabis. And it's 20% of the people here. So either we as a community are not active enough to get this legislation passed,
mm-hmm.
or just there's the other 80% are assholes. But the 20% of the chronic pain people should be pushing to get access to legal cannabis. And it's a moral duty of everyone who knows that cannabis is good for chronic pain to come out and speak out about this.
Yeah, but I think
we know it's beneficial.
That the people who should really be coming out and supporting this should be the GPs and things. It seems like they're being kind of kept out of the loop on this. That they're normally the first person you would see when you're feeling unwell, and they're probably the person who knows you the best out of anyone in the medical field, really, because it's your family doctor. You know, you'd go out to see them, for whatever reasons it might be. So they know you, and should they not be kept in the loop of all this? And if again yourself, you suffer with chronic pain, and why is it you need a pain specialist to be able to be prescribed something so benign, really, in terms of its dangers? And again, that's not to say it doesn't come without dangers, but when you look at what he's prescribing you already, it's he's giving you a cocktail of drugs there, and any one of them, you could take a handful of them and they're going to top you off.
I've got this stuff at the moment. It's called Tegretol, yeah?
Yeah.
So this is a anti-seizure medication, right? So to treat seizures, you can take 400 milligrams daily. I'm taking 700 milligrams of this stuff so far daily. I will be taking 800 milligrams next week. I'm going to be taking twice the dose it takes to cure someone of epilepsy to try and cure this pain.
Yeah.
Right? This is a highly reactive drug. Right? There are so many other drugs I cannot take because I take this drug.
Jeez.
Where the fuck am I meant to find out about drug interactions of Tegretol with THC? Mm-hmm. What doctor am I meant to talk to about that? I know this interacts with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I know it's interacting with THC. So I'm literally human lab ratting it at this point.
Yeah, no, and nobody should be left in that situation. Again, there's doctors out there. They have an opportunity to be able to work with somebody like this. taking your bloods to be able to kind of see what's going on there. Look, you're doing this anyway. Surely be in their benefit to be able to allow you to do this legally, and for them to be able to kind of gather the data then. Like, they say it's only anecdotal evidence, but in fairness, like, anecdotal evidence is, as the saying goes, it's anecdotal until it's you.
That's,
you know?
That's the same thing they used to say about global warming. It's only one paper that says, but like, the only people saying it's anecdotal evidence are the people who don't want cannabis legalized.
Yeah.
It's past anecdotal at this point. It is, we know it works for a variety of chronic illnesses. Like, it's just, how do we legalize it in an effective way to, like, avoid some of the issues Canada had? Canada had issues, like, legalizing.
They definitely did, yeah. But I think a lot of the issues were caused because of the policies they had. You know, as you were saying, there was overtaxation.
It was so expensive. It was like twice the price, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And the people who were actually at the grassroots, the activists, the community kind of people fighting for this all along, they were left out. None of them were able to get licenses. None of them were able to kind of get involved in the industry as it will, because there was just such barriers put in place, you know, license fees, all of this kind of stuff. Yeah. It was absolutely a shite show what they'd done over there. Like, again, I always say that these things should be from the bottom up rather from the top down, because that's what a government is trying to do. They're trying to do these things from top down. But it's like, no, come here, let the community kind of build it from the bottom up. Because that's where the most vulnerable are, and it's the most vulnerable who need to be really looked after in all of this. If it's from a top-down approach, then all you're going to get is, much like what happened in Canada, the guys with the money are going to come in, they're going to control the show, whereas, you know, the people who've been affected by it, criminalized for it, and all of this, you know, the people who've been fighting for it for so long, they were all left out in the cold. They were all forgotten about. That happened as well in a lot of places in America too, where, you know, for a long time it was 70-80% of the people getting arrested for it were black, and then all of a sudden it becomes legal.
That's why the laws were passed. Let's find something we can prosecute them for.
But when it became legal then, like, it wasn't 70-80% of the stores were black people. No, it was 95% of them were white owned, like, you know, big business dudes who weren't getting hassled for it before. And meanwhile, you know, the minority communities, that those kind of most put out because of the war on drugs all along, they were left out. And these were the people who were, you know, these were the people running the show all along. And it's just such a backwards way in which to do it. Like, do it from the bottom up. You keep it easy. You know, if people want to be able to get a license to be able to grow and sell cannabis, it should be like a 50 euro kind of a fee. Go down there, register at your local office, and just adhere to all of the food safety and all of the production regulations that are already there for everything else anyway. It shouldn't be this kind of, oh, well, you're growing cannabis now, well, it's going to be a 1,500 euro if you want to be able to do this, and another 10,000 euro for this license. And, do you know, meanwhile, like, how much is the Heineken brewery paying down below?
You're just cornering off the market fees, to, like, the upper middle class and above. And it's like, okay, you guys can run this market now. We're just going to ignore everyone in the lower shelf who is more likely to engage in this type of activity.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure. I had a debate with one of my friends and I was saying that, like, you should be able to grow cannabis at home, like, without a doubt. Because he's open to medicinal cannabis and recreational cannabis. It's just growing at home he was against. And I was like, I don't want, what happened with opiates. Like, I don't want the drug companies to run, like, the cannabis market. It'll just be way too expensive. And B, I don't want them controlling, like, another, like, and something else that can be used for pain management. Like, why do we need to give them something else that's, it's like 6 euro a seed. You can grow it at home. Like, it's not that complicated. And, you know, I don't want them having control over that either. So I was having this argument with my friend and I was like, you should definitely be able to grow at home. And I was like, I could grow like fucking 3 plants, 4 plants and have enough for fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, never worry again about like fucking, it would cost me like what, a couple of hundred euro. And at the moment it's costing me like 400 a month. Like, that's fucking mental. Month, yeah. I can't afford 400 a month. I was like, my test month, I was like, can I knock it out completely? And I was like, yeah, it's like completely gone.
And how hard is it to get it then when you need it, I suppose?
It's fucking hard. Like, there's been times, last time I was talking to you, I was not able to get any at all. And I was like, my doctor has literally fucking cried in the office because I've gone into her like days and days without sleep. Like I've literally gone like 70, 80 hours on like fucking 5 hours sleep. I'm going in and the less sleep I get, the worse this gets. That keeps me up. Mm-hmm. So I sleep less, which makes it worse. And it just goes downhill. So what they do is they put me on steroids that would ease the pain. And I'd be able to sleep for a while, but then they'd have to take me off the steroids to stop my immune system like exploding or whatever. And like first you have steroid withdrawal, which is not fun, and all the effects of the steroids, and B, the side effects of this start coming back. Steroids, long-term steroid use affects your adrenal gland and your heart. Like it's not good.
No.
So they'd take me off the steroids, the pain had come back then, and it was like, I go into her after like 3 days of not sleeping and I'm like, I have to be on the steroids. And they're like, we can't prescribe you that. So, you
and,
know.
And that left her in that bad of a position. She was actually crying one day.
No, I was like fucking bawling in tears. Like, and it's hard to imagine now, like that I'd be in that state. But I'm like half baked right now. So it's like, I'm fine. Like this thing is like as solid as lead.
Yeah.
But like, give it 2 hours and like, come at me with like a tiny little fucking, you know, one of those cocktail weenie sticks. Like, oh my God, man, I'd deck someone come near me with that at my jaw. Like, I couldn't take that. I couldn't. Like, it would leave me crippled. But just take me down for light breeze at that point. Like, but,
And
you know, my life is vastly better right now.
What forms of cannabis would you have tried? Is it all flowers that you're trying?
So I've tried the oils, so the 96% THC oil, the one that comes in carts that you you smoke with the vape.
Yeah.
Man, that shit, like, I had 3 carts. It's like $100 worth. It lasted me for, like, 3-4 months. Like, the pain relief from those was insane. Because THC is the analgesic component of, like, cannabis. It's not the CBD. The CBD isn't, like, helps with very specific types of pain. But it's not the analgesic component. Analgesic component is THC, and man, those carrots blew my mind. Like the pain was non-existent. Then just regular bud, which is pretty good. Edibles, like I got like longer term like pain relief from it, but I don't know. I just didn't like the idea of like you could take a bit too much of an edible and then like freak out. you don't know what ratios you're fucking using when you're doing this stuff, man. Yeah. Like you buy one bit of weed and someone's like, oh, this is really good weed. Mm-hmm. And then like it turns out to be nothing and I don't get any pain relief from it. Like, and then someone's like, oh yeah, you know, here, take this. And you could have made an edible out of this and the shit would have like melted your brain. And say, I don't want to go down that path. I'm just, you know,
a smoker. The edibles that you've tried, were they homemade from yourself or were they acquired on the black market?
Yeah, me and my buddy, yourselves. But we were just like, we don't know how strong this is. We're just like, ah, fuck it.
Ah, come on, a bunch of chemists and you weren't able to figure out the dose of your edibles.
Oh, I'm sure we could if we were allowed like access to the correct equipment. Like, I'm sure I could tell you down to a T what was in there. But it's just hard knowing like your dose as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're right. And
there's a fucking pill, man, and it has like 1% THC, and it's off. It's off. And what's the country that Vera Toomey gets her medications from?
Holland.
Yeah, I think so. It's like 1% THC, and then the rest of it is CBD. I'd love to try that because you just pop that in the morning, like you don't smell like a fucking stoner. You know, it's non-psychoactive because you haven't like decarbed it and you're ingesting it. You're just getting the analgesic effect, like from, because it's a neuropathic effect.
Yeah.
That it'd be blocking. I'd love to try that.
Yeah.
It would be less psychoactive than what I'm currently doing, but I don't have access to it.
You see, I'm very glad for MS. I'm very glad that you said that because this is what I was talking about, I suppose, maybe earlier in the week, or that these two markets can coexist. Well, there's a market for people who would like to try flowers, who would like to be trying the different forms of cannabis there is. there's also a market for somebody who'd like just the convenience of being able to kind of pop a pill and know that that pill is going to subdue or keep their their pain and or whatever it might be at ease, and it's consistent, you know, and you're going off about your day and you don't have to worry about, you know, oh crap, am I going to get too stoned now from this flower, like, you know.
Yeah, it's like if I could take something that I was like, I pop at 9 a.m. in the morning, 9 a.m. at night, and I take it like a fucking vitamin, and someone else takes their medication.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? That's non-psychoactive. Like, if I ate a load of weed right now, I'd just get a bit of a tummy ache. That's all that's going to happen to me. This is like 14 times less weak than like weed, right? And it's got way more CBD in there, so it's going to be way less psychoactive anyway, even if you inhaled it. But let's just disregard all that. Like, it's 1% THC. Why can I not buy that and just take it in the morning and not be in pain? It's that simple. Like, for me, it's immoral that we have not changed this law yet.
Yeah, I truly don't.
Flat out.
I truly don't understand it either. We've got kids who are benefiting from it tremendously here. We've had people who've had to leave the country. They're over in other countries now. And I'm talking about Alicia Maher in this one. Alicia Maher is stuck over in Alicante. She's a chronic pain patient as well, much like yourself. She's suffered at the hands of our medical profession here as well. I think she might have even, if memory serves right, she contracted MRSA after a surgery in the hospital, which kind of brought all sorts of complications and stuff like that on her as well. And she's now stuck in Alicante at the moment, where she can get access to cannabis through the local clubs, and it's working tremendously for her. But if she comes back here to Ireland, she can only get access to through the ministerial license, where she'll have a very limited amount of option or varieties offered to her. And the price tag then is tremendous. Like, it's kind of outside what she can afford. So she's stuck in Alicante because of the ignorance of our government.
Yeah, I saw one of her tweets before. It was showing like the price of the weed over there, and I was like, fucking Christ. It's like heaven over there.
Yeah, I think she only put up a post earlier on that she's away now a year and 7 months. And after being away for a couple of months, she actually got the license to come home to be able to be prescribed cannabis. But because of the price barrier, she wasn't able to do it. But not only the price barrier, the variety, again, as I say, there was a limited offering of the cannabis medicines for her. She had a much better offering over in Alicante, being provided by the growers over there through the clubs and stuff like that. So she never really came back, but she's been emailing the office of Stephen Donnelly, the health minister. He's not responded once to her, not once, in over a year.
What the fuck is the deal with him? Like, so he was meant to be the guy who was like, yeah, I smoked weed. He was meant to be the cool health minister that came in. He was like, yeah, I smoke weed. Let's just like push this through medically and like we'll look at recreationally. And like, he's said fucking nothing since. Like, what the fuck is the deal with that? Like,
yeah,
it's just fucking immoral. It's
I can't understand.
It's just
that.
A flick of the pen for them.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Like, he's expressed views and opinions in the past already. That's, you know, he has no problem with people growing their own cannabis for their own use, just as adults. Like, he's now the minister for feckin' hell. Like, he has an opportunity to do something to help so many patients, as he said, like, he would before. And I'm referring back to that bloody Hot Press interview. But obviously, look, these people, man, they change, like, the weather, they're sellouts. Like, he would say that back at the interview to be able to kind of get support. But then he sees an opportunity to get a minister's position through Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil or whoever he's bloody with. And, you know, he'd sell his own mother, but he would. He's a clown, yeah, that's right. I see Podge out there calling him a clown and a few others.
Is he? Oh, man, have you even looked at the chat yet? Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a fair old conversation going on out there. There's lots of people as well. There's a good few people after saying that they've found themselves in a similar situation as yourself, where they went and expressed it to their doctor, to their specialist, and got absolutely nowhere. So something needs to be done. Like, you know, it's great that you're on here talking about this now and coming out, like, but more people need to be kind of coming out and not just here online. But again, we've the protest coming up on the 10th of July, but we can have so many more protests too.
Man, they're not going to care, like, until their jobs are threatened with our votes. Mm-hmm. And our generation doesn't vote like the elderly generation. We just don't. Like,
That's
the elderly are they just care about their pensions and stuff like that, and they've got these old Catholic, conservative values. Like, you go back and you have like divorce, contraception, abortions, mm-hmm. gay marriage. Like, Ireland is not a progressive country. It takes us, like, we are well behind the pack. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want this to pass, you literally have to drag people out to come on this podcast, to go on the radio, to go to your politicians. Like, you have to push for this. Like, you actually want it.
Yeah.
No, and people like me and other people, like, we need people like you to do that.
Fair, yeah. No, you're dead right. And it's Stevie D'Angelo, I think it was quoted in the media and actually saying this the other day, that it's kind of ironic, really, that it's the elderly generation who are probably most against it and preventing it from being legalized, who would actually benefit greatly from it should it be legalized, because in places like Canada and California and stuff like that, where cannabis has been legal, the over 55s, over 65 population have been some of the fastest growing population of our demographic of consumers, and many of them are opting to switch out their pain medication for cannabis as an alternative. And, you know,
if I was 60 and, like, someone said you can take opiates, you can take the opiate, which is highly addictive, designed to get you hooked, mm-hmm. right? And it'll give you pain relief for half an hour and you have to pop another one, right? And you're just going to be hooked on this for fucking ever. Or you could take cannabis, right? And let's say you are predisposed to adult onset schizophrenia. You're in your 60s, man, like, or 70s, whatever. Like, the chronic pain aspect, I would want the benefit from that. Opiates are fucking insane. Opiates come with a shit ton of side effects that aren't just, like, you know, addiction. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't want to deal with that. I've taken opiates. Like, I've taken OxyContin, like, from the hospital.
Yeah.
That. And I felt like fucking shit taking it. Like,
and you know, the scary thing, the scary thing about many of those is many people actually die while taking just the prescribed amounts of those drugs. So you might be prescribed to take two of them a day or whatever, like, but you follow that regimen, and sometimes there's people actually die while just taking that, because these things can be that dangerous. As some of them, not all of them, but some of them can be incredibly dangerous to people. Like, the stuff that's going on there at the moment because of OxyContin and some of the documentaries that have been coming out showing the stuff going on behind the scenes. These are some evil individuals.
Man, they knew. They all knew that, like the drugs were addictive, and they all knew that, like, people were dying from taking them. And they were like, I don't care. Keep pumping them into towns. Let's keep sending doctors to strippers to try and entice them to sell our fucking opiate. And, you know, they're the people I do not want in charge of cannabis, Like, that's why I'm, like, very pro. We should be able to grow at home. Government out of your lives. You know, like, I did not used to be this fucking, like, what would you say? Like, adamant about, like, keeping the government out of this, like, before it really fucking affected my life. Mm-hmm. If I could grow at home, I'd literally be paying nothing to benefit my life.
Yeah. Right? And do you think
right now I'm paying hundreds, and with the government fucking running it, it'll be fucking thousands. Like, it's just guaranteed.
Yeah. And would you be happy to do that, I suppose, as a middle ground until you are able to kind of go to the chemist and get that pill that you were talking about earlier? You would be happy to kind of be able to do that.
What they did in Canada was day one, they just decriminalized it. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, we're not going to go after people.
Yeah.
Flick of the pen, like, we could do this. It's not revolutionary to actually say decriminalize it, and we'll just, you know, work towards. Are the Irish government saying they cannot regulate cannabis? Because if they're saying they can't regulate cannabis, are they literally saying they cannot regulate every other drug that they put out in our market? Like, what the fuck is the deal with this? Why are they restricting my rights to access medicine over some perceived, we can't regulate for this, we can't control what comes into the country? You do it with everything else. You will save so much money on not upholding prohibition. What was it? The UK spends $330 million on, like, upholding cannabis regulations. The US, it's like hundreds of billions. How much do we spend on that? And we could save and then apply towards regulating cannabis.
Yeah, well, I would say that we've spent a lot. The justice budget, I think, last year was over 3 billion euro. You have to imagine that a large portion of the time in the Justice Department, it's been spent going after these organized crime gangs who are, you know, so powerful because of this prohibition of drugs. If there wasn't such a prohibition of drugs, there wouldn't be so many of these organized crime gangs out there. And at least when they were spending money going after them, we're going after them for real reasons, real crimes, you know, human trafficking. That's a serious fucking crime. And that to be putting any other resources to anything else other than that, you know, to go after drugs instead of human trafficking, that is absolutely appalling. Like, I think they were celebrating there because we had the first human trafficking kind of conviction that was found in court in Ireland recently. Like, we were celebrating it. They were being applauded for it. But, like, that is appalling because we have lots of human trafficking going on around the place. And it's not just for growing cannabis. You know, there's a lot of exploitation going on there. But in the sex worker scene as well, which, again, is another thing we could talk about, too, in terms of foolish prohibitions.
What is the sentence for cannabis possession? Like, let's just say a simple cannabis possession, like, I don't know, 3 grams, 50 bag.
A maximum is a year in prison and a 1,500 euro fine.
Is it right that the government can give you a year in prison?
Yeah.
Like, did you have 1,500 euro to pay a fine on right now?
No, I'm not.
Or do any of the audience have 1,500 to pay, like, on a fine, right? Because I don't.
Nope. No, but like, it's a certain portion of the population who would.
Yeah, it's just a poor tax. This mm-hmm. is just a poor tax. Cannabis isn't the drug of the rich. That is cocaine and other shit like that. Like, it's just classist at this point. Just saying. Sure, you were talking about in one of your videos. Was it they separated out people into employed and unemployed?
Yeah,
I remember you talking about that, and it was I can't remember how long ago that was, but it was you pay 400 euro fine because you're working. A 400 euro fine to someone who's working isn't that much. A 400 euro fine to, or a 200 euro fine to someone who's not working, like, the dole is 180 euro. Mm-hmm. Paying 200 euro, that's a quarter of your monthly wage has gone. Like,
yeah,
it's fucking insanity.
Yeah,
that this go on.
It was foolish, and for often or not, for me as a person getting punished by that when I was in there, when they were taking money out of my pocket when I had to pay these donations, it was actually they were taken from my family because I'm a family man. I had a child at the time. I've two kids now, a third on the way. But anytime I get a fine, that's basically they're taking money from my pocket, which was destined for my family. I don't live a lavish lifestyle. If I've got money in my pocket, it's most likely to either buy food to put in the fridge or to keep the roof over the head, to keep the lights on. That's mostly what
or
I
run this, because this costs money. Like,
yeah, no, but thankfully I've been able to be able supported by yourselves out there and to help get it along.
By the way, Martin has got a PayPal link, by the way, right? In the description, it's in the description or something, but Martin receives 100% of the money we send via PayPal. So I'm calling on you to send Martin money via PayPal and not YouTube chats. Your chat will still come up as a super chat like YouTube, but Martin gets more for your money and it literally costs you nothing.
Legend.
So, you know, and smash that like button.
Yeah. No, well, look,
and tell your friends, tell a friend tomorrow about Martin's world as well. That's something you should all do. The homework for class.
The audience will be huge.
Yeah. For the cause, man, the cause.
Yeah. No, but for me, I suppose it was very difficult all along to be continuing paying these fines. That's kind of why I'm at where I'm at now. And my fine that I'm due to pay in September, I'm not going paying it. I'm not going to go down to the court and hand them 400 euro in order for what? A fine for what? I did nothing wrong. They do not deserve it. For me to go down and hand them that money, that would be making it easy and it would be admitting that I done something wrong. I did nothing wrong and I'm going to maintain that position.
And you're being made the sacrificial lamb for, like, everyone who smokes cannabis and just isn't caught.
Mm.
Like, that's why people have to support you as well, is like,
Yeah.
It is moral to break a law. Like, if that law is unjust, it's moral to break it. And we should support someone who breaks that law. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and try and help them through that. Like, yeah.
No, I'm a firm believer of that as well. But the way in which society shapes you, you're almost kind of... For me, I feel kind of ostracized sometimes, like even when I'm with some of my own friends who would be cannabis consumers, because I kind of would be like that. I'd be very vocal, I'd be organizing stuff, and I'm not, they're all very standoffish, like, and that in time, I think I've kind of lost a few friends, I suppose, over the years because of that, because I just share my mind and things, you know, but I definitely have gotten people out more supporting it too. But it is a hard position to maintain, for sure. It is completely better if I was to just be quiet, keep the head down and just go on and get on about my life, you know, be quiet about it. But that's not going to really help society, is it?
Like, it's not going to bring society change. Should be judged about how we treat the weakest among us, right? And again, 20% of us have chronic pain, right? More of that is going to be the elderly, by the way. Like, the elderly vastly suffer from chronic pain, like, more than, you know, us millennials and all that. We should be out there trying to help these people, regardless of whether they know it or not, and they realize that, like, cannabis could be used as, like, an effective way to treat, like, glaucoma or, you know, chronic pain from arthritis. It's very good for that. And is it lupus? It lupus as well? It's beneficial for some of the chronic pain treatment for that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the right thing to do. We all need to go. We need to start getting more people involved. Is something else I wanted to say on the show for my benefit and for Martin's benefit, who's going to be not paying this fine. And there are going to be other medical people who are getting caught. Sure, you've talked about, like, 7-year-old men who are, like, growing, like, 3 plants in their fucking house, and, like, their house gets raided, like, they're the fucking, they're running a gang or something. Yeah. Like, and taxpayer money is going towards this to fucking, like, just terrify an old man who's trying to solve, like, his pain issues.
Yeah, I know.
It's insane. And this is academic suicide.
Yeah.
Well, I've gone all out today.
Well, it's good that you are. There's a documentary out there, actually. I don't know if other people have seen it, but it's called The Iron Man. And if you just Google the Iron Man cannabis, you'll be able to find it. But it's about a guy called Michael Thatcher. And he was in his his late 60s, early 70s. And he was growing cannabis himself as well. He's since passed, but there's a very good documentary up there online for people to check out if they haven't seen it. It's very worthwhile watching and checking it out. And hopefully it might motivate a couple of more people to kind of get up and do something. Once you see this, you see a man at that age kind of getting involved in this and being grown and exploring it and benefiting from it. And you know, as you said, like, imagine what that would be. You know, just play the thought experiment. Cops coming and raiding that place, like, coming down with their guns and stuff like that. The armed squad thinking they're getting a big grow operation, but meanwhile, it's just an old man growing for his cancer, because that's what he had. It was cancer he had, and he actually went over to Israel and stuff like that as part of the documentary. It was it's really well worth watching. All right, but more like that's I think it's 5 years old now. 5 years old, and still yet we were nowhere any closer to this. It's actually over 6 years old, actually.
Yeah, it's just fucking insane, man. I've been gearing up to go for this ministerial license for a while, and, like, the first thing that put me off of it was the cost of it. Like, it's meant to be ridiculously expensive trying to go for this. So there was, like, mm-hmm. There's no point to me going for this until I can actually afford to purchase the drugs legally. And my doctor warned me about that as well. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, how expensive are these drugs? That I'm like, it's cheaper to buy illegally than it is to buy from the government. How have the government, like, constructed a system in which it is easier for me to buy from someone who's criminally importing? They have so many more loopholes to go around. Like, how is that cheaper than fucking, like, the government just allowing, like, production of it in Ireland, which there's so many places looking to invest in,
because it's a mutually beneficial system, right? They don't want the criminals to stand up and call for change, and because it benefits the big companies that are being set up there, the big companies can charge fucking their exorbitant amounts of money, the criminals can charge their exorbitant amount of money, and we're not low growth. It's crazy.
And it's not a fucking difficult chemical to work. Like, you literally just, you grow the plant.
Yeah.
And then you just collect the herbs and then you dry it out a bit and then you smoke the plant. Like, it's not that difficult. No. Like, you can vaporize as well, which is the recommended way.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah.
But
have you ever tried a volcano?
Like, you can make oils as well.
Hmm? Have you ever tried a volcano at all?
I haven't, no.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I have this. Also going to give a shout out to the Funky Skunk, Sarah and Hannah. They're lovely. They set me up with this thing. I hate this thing, though. It doesn't work great. But it's meant to be, like, you can put herb in there and then, like, smoke, like...
Oh, nice.
...into this chamber right here. Or I can show you what I regularly use is... ...what I call baby bong. It looks ridiculous, but, like, the thing is, like, I don't want to be inhaling, like, all that tar and stuff like that there.
Yeah.
I want, like, the water, like, getting some of that stuff out. Mm-hmm. So it was that or the vape. The vape doesn't work great for me. If I was able to buy a proper vape or like, because I can't bring fucking smoke to the shop, so I can't ask the people in the shop, am I just not using this vape right? I literally asked them. I was like, am I using this right? They asked me to leave for, like, 30 minutes while they tried out the vape, and then they're like, oh, the vape's just not working. I came home and I still can't get the thing to work.
Yeah.
Like to get like a decent pull off of it. And it's like, if I could just bring some fucking smoke down to the shop and it wasn't COVID and like masks and contamination, whatever, I'd be able to ask them, am I using this damn thing right?
Yeah, that's it. Like, you're literally asked. I suppose you've nowhere to go for any information and any of this. Like, you were alluding to that while ago, even in terms of the types of
does this interact with?
The integral toll. Like, that's the stuff. Like, what, yeah, you can't even ask these questions.
What is this doing to me with this? Because I guarantee you, like, this is like a brain drug, man. This is like epileptic, slows down neural impulses. Like, this is strong medication. Like, reacts with a lot of metabolites. Like, I definitely think there's something going on there, but it's like, Who do you talk to?
Yeah, that's it. Like, you have to go on to freaking the internet, I suppose, really. That's where your only option is left. You end up going on to erdogans.org or something.
I did my chemistry bachelor's, right? And then I did my fucking PhD in chemistry. Right. So first of all, when that pain specialist tells me there's no evidence that supports the use of cannabis for the treatment of neuropathic pain. Mm-hmm. And he says that shit to me. First of all, I'm well read up enough in chemistry that I can read medical papers and go, that's wrong. And but I shouldn't have to go out there and get like a medical degree to find out everything it's interacting with. I could, but I have a job, I have hobbies, I have friends. I don't have all this time to spend like diving into the fucking depths of a chemistry, like getting a medicine degree. I have one.
Yeah,
one
you shouldn't have that. No, I've gone away. Like, I've done 4 years of herbal science, and I should be somebody that you should be coming forward to. Somebody who's trained and understanding, who has put that time into trying to understand this stuff. Like, but unfortunately, look, this is where I have to be because of the stupid law. I'm here doing a bloody podcast when my real expertise would actually be working with people such as yourself and saying, hey, look, this terpene profile along with this cannabinoid profile is going to be the right one for you. But I can't do that.
Telling me about like gene tests you could do for certain drugs as well to be like, avoid this drug and stuff like that. Like, you could screen people's genes. So it was LSD or something.
That was for MDMA. There's a certain genetic marker that it's for women. This is specifically, I think, for women, where there's a certain genetic marker which predisposes them to have a much higher sensitivity to MDMA. So, and I don't think it affects all women. So again, women, you know, don't be afraid, but again, just be aware that this is actually a thing. that you could have just a higher sensitivity to it. But that's like alcohol. There's people out there who have a much higher sensitivity to alcohol. They might drink half a pint.
Whole parts of the world.
Whole parts of the world. You're dead right, actually, yeah.
that have like less, like they don't have like certain enzymes to like process alcohol.
That's
like
right.
the way other parts of the world do. Like, fucking known facts. Like, it would be great if I could get screened and know what is my likelihood of adult onset schizophrenia, or what is the likelihood of, like, let's say, gray or brain matter degradation, IQ points dropping. You know, like, we could screen all this out with genes. You can buy test kits for what now? 200 euro, something like that. Gene test kits.
Yeah.
Like, you could do this. And people who shouldn't, because people use that as an excuse to like not legalize it. It's like, oh, some people take it and have a bad reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, there are other drugs on the market that people have bad reactions to that are far more harmful. We also have peanuts in food.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. And some people die because of that.
Like, just because a drug is harmful to certain, you know, numbers of the population, doesn't mean we should make it illegal. It's not a good argument when we have, you could throw peanuts at someone and like you could be charged with assault. Like, there's not one person on this planet you could throw buckets of fucking weed at them and like, no, get it off me. No, stop it. But no, it's fucking retarded.
Would you,
so stupid.
Would you still get done for assault if they were dry roasted peanuts? Sorry.
Oh, gosh.
They weren't salted. Sorry. Terrible, man. Oh, terrible. Yeah, I know. I couldn't resist. I was there and I was just like,
Man, it's just, you know, it's not a good argument to say, oh, certain types of the population shouldn't have access to it. But if we are going to use that argument, like more research into it in Ireland would be great. You know, like we could look at, oh, can we filter out certain types of the populace and say, oh, we actually don't advise you use this.
Mm-hmm.
We advise you more go towards this route. But no, that would be too smart of a use of our funds.
No, it would be a much more sensible approach to be able to go that way, you know, kind of advise people, hey, yeah, there is certain genetic markers you can look out for, which will give you an idea. And that goes the same for cannabis. There's studies out there which have shown there's some people who have got certain genetic profiles where they've got more of this certain enzyme that I think it mops up dopamine more. I think that's what it does, the role of that enzyme. Anyway, look, I could be a bit wrong on this, but these people who have this enzyme, these are normally a bit more laid back kind of people, and they tend not to like cannabis, and they tend not to have good experiences or interactions with it. And you know, we'd be able to kind of tell that then through the genetics if people were able to kind of look into this kind of stuff. But unfortunately, people don't understand this. They just think that, oh, well, I tried cannabis and I didn't like it, so it must be bad for everybody else.
Yeah, I've had horrible experiences on cannabis as well. Like, god-awful, like, puking, pulled whitey, like, panic attacks. I've had loads of panic attacks on it.
Mm-hmm.
At the start, especially, because it's... when you don't know what to expect, like it's quite nerve inducing, you know, like you smoke it and then you just get panicky and you get paranoid and you're lost in your own thoughts, you know. Again, who can you fucking talk to, like, and
no, there's not anybody really that you can talk to outside of, you know, like, so myself, you're out there shouting out, asking for this help, asking for this assistance. Like,
and that's again why everyone needs to like go out this week and get one person and bring them to Martin's World, and we need to see like the viewership double next week so we can like spread like a virus across the Irish culture. Like, literally, I'm not even joking, like, big waves, people. Like, we have to push this agenda. We need to be the AOC, the Bernie Sanders, the Ilhan Omar of Ireland. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to push this ship forward. Like, We need to get this done, like progressive agendas. We just, like, getting the government the fuck out of our lives where it has no right being. Like, if you want to regulate the drug I take, fine. Don't prevent me getting access to it.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why we all literally got to start on this now, because, like, talking about it is fine, But then we're just a bunch of keyboard warriors with only an online presence. Like, the online presence is only worth so much unless you can, like, convert that to capital and get people to show up to protests, get people willing to protest, get people willing to talk to their friends to drag them to protests. Mm-hmm. And then we can convert them. That's the aim. That should be the overall aim of, well, that's my overall aim, is like to try and like convert people to the cause. I need people willing to vote for me. So yeah,
yeah,
no, that's what I'm hoping today. I could get more people willing to do that.
There's a good few people out there agreeing with you anyway as well. I see Amy Riley there is getting in a couple of wave emojis saying that we can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, like we do need to be the progressive wave of Ireland. Mm-hmm. We need to find politicians who represent our interests. We need to be represented. Like, Martin needs to represent us in some capacity. Like, he's clearly the figurehead at this point. He's at least the newsman at the very least. But like, we have a man who's educated in herbal science, you know, level 8 degree, wasn't it?
Level 8 degree, level 7, honors.
Yeah, level 8 degree, that's honors, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and people are going to say, oh, he has a conviction, and it's like for a stupid fucking law.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I'm telling this to you people. We needed to be doing this. Like, I don't, like, part of the reason I didn't come on, because I actually emailed Martin, let's see, 8 months ago, like, about getting on the podcast, and he was very receptive to having me on. I would have been one of the first few on, actually, if I'd done it. But then it's just nerves. It's just nerves coming on, talking about your life. You're coming on saying, I'm a criminal. You know,
yeah,
I live my life by a standard you all judge to be horrible. And, you know, it's a terrible thing that I get medical benefit from it, and I should feel horrible.
Yeah. Like, you're such a bad person.
I know. And if I seem out of sorts today, it's only because I'm so fucking frazzled from like recounting this is just insane. There's so many fucking routes. I've had to go to maxillofacial, a dental hospital, a pain specialist, another pain specialist, neurologist, another dentist. Like, there are so many different people I've been like seeing, and like, I literally was looking at my Google photos to show those pictures of like the crash, right? I forgot half of the meds I took. They have such long names, you can never remember them, like, and I forgot half of the drugs I took. And I just, when I saw that today, I was like, I'm frazzled. I just can't. It's fucking insane. And you know, so yeah, I may seem a bit frazzled talking about this, but it's, you bottled this up for so long. Like, it's not good for my mental health either, being worried about, this is horrible for my mental health. I think half of the time I have panic attacks, it's about like sourcing weed, because is there ever times
where you're in a company where you would like to disclose it, but you don't, you keep it in, you keep it bottled up, you don't disclose the fact that you use cannabis for medical reasons? If, say, is there any particular company or family or anything like that where you kind of have to keep this hidden?
Well, obviously, when people search up my name now, they're going to see it. So there's going to be work, obviously. It's going to be wonderful to deal with. But again, like, I have a neurologist willing to write me a letter. So I'm like, mm-hmm. Bring it. Come on. Like, people say that I'm like boss myself out. I get up in the morning, 7 a.m., 6 a.m., I go for a run, I go to work, you know? I fill every moment of my life with productive activities at the moment.
Good stuff.
But it's mainly just because, like, I feel great this month, except for increasing on the Tegretol. That shit hits you like a hammer, man, in the mornings. It's like a brick wall. I wake up, I smoke a bowl, I go for a run, and I have a coffee. That's what I do.
Nice.
It's, you know, I've no itchy jaw. I'm able to drink my coffee and enjoy it. Do you have any idea what it's like to like have to constantly learn to like drink hot drinks on like a certain side of your mouth, tilt your head a certain way, eat food on a certain side of your mouth to avoid here? Like, it's fucking horrible, man. So I can just have a smoke in the morning and like have my coffee, eat. I was eating one meal a day. I lost, like, I was under I was about 9 stone at one point. You met me. I'm pretty tall. I was about 9 stone at one point. And that was because I wasn't eating because I didn't want to upset this. Like, I was like, I don't want to go near this thing with any food. So I'm just going to eat once a day. It hurts the worst at night. So I'll eat at night because it's like, fuck it. It's going to hurt anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's how I like one meal a day for over a year.
Jeez, that's somewhere to be like, living. Like
it's like, I know like people do intermediate fasting, but this is like, I had no choice in the matter. Mm-hmm. This is just what I had to do. So yeah, some people may be like, oh, that's intermediate fasting. That's fine. So I was about nine and a bit stone. Like, I'm pretty tall and, you know, I put on weight now. I weigh like over 10 stone. Like, mm-hmm. I'm still scrawny as fuck, but like, I'm an acceptable weight now.
Would you owe that to being having access to cannabis then, so that you were able to do that, really?
Because, like, if I was on the steroids as well, like, so if I was taking the steroids I'd have to eat in the morning because it wrecks your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And also the steroids helped with jaw, so I was able to eat in the steroids. So it forced me to eat.
Yeah.
So my weight was generally better on the steroids as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the reasons my GP put me on it, was that I'd lost so much weight. They were like, we don't want to put you on this because you have negative long-term effects.
Yeah.
You know, autoimmune, like gets shot, levels D3, breaking bones, fluid retention. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like your throat swells up. It's your back with fluid and stuff like that. Your adrenal gland gets all out of whack. So they didn't want to put me on it, but I'd lost so much weight. That's why they started putting me on the steroids, because I was like, it's itching all the time. It's in crazy pain all the time. Like, I just get worse at night and you don't see me at night. I can't fucking call you at like 3 a.m. when it's like literally like someone taking a hot screw right into my nerve.
Jeez, man, like, that doesn't sound good.
I can't call a doctor at 3 a.m. about that. I've called like you can't go to like, is it A&E or something? If it's chronic pain, they just send you home and that's it.
Yeah, give you some paracetamol.
Like, what the fuck am I meant to do?
Yeah. And if you would access the cannabis at that point, would cannabis help alleviate that then, if you were feeling that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And have you ever tried, I suppose you are talking about the 96% vape cartridge. Have you ever tried the dabs or any of the rosin kind of stuff? Any of the concentrates?
No, I had like the carts that have the super sticky liquid, you know, like that. But I haven't tried any of that stuff.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. And the carts that where did you get them sent over from the States, or what was it? Or was it just somebody who just had them?
I have very nice friends who sent them over, yeah.
Nice, happy days. Not that you don't have to say any more than that, yeah. But because if you were to have sourced them here, I suppose I would have maybe been questioning maybe the authenticity of the source, like, you know.
No, it was a dispensary that my friend's friend runs.
Okay, happy days.
They produce a lot of the stuff there.
Nice, so you know you can trust
them. My buddy was actually involved in making some of the stuff before, so he was like, no, it's really, really good stuff you're getting. So I was like, okay.
It's good to have friends in high places.
Man, my drugs cost, but like the pain has gotten worse over time as well. That's the thing, is I need to smoke more and more and more.
Yeah.
I know some of that is my tolerance going up for smoking, but also, the pain used to be just here, and it spread to like the front of my jaw, like to the back of the jaw, up to my ear and down my neck.
Lovely.
Like, it spread. Like, so I have to smoke more now, so the cost has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
But to put it in perspective, like 5 months of my meds, 4 months of my meds cost $100. Like, that's what it costs to keep me relatively pain-free and have like decent sleep. Like every night I was getting about 6 hours of sleep every night. Right now I'm getting like 8-9. It's great. I'm as well rested as I've ever been. Like, I feel like this month has just been an experiment in like how much I can improve just smoking cannabis, and it's like an uphill like trajectory. I don't know where it's going to peel off, like, but
nice, long may that continue. Happy days. See, I see Greenbeard was after sharing his experience there as well with his doctors. He was saying that after 18 years of taking prescription drugs for his arthritis, borderline liver and kidney failure because of the drugs the doctors gave him, I always smoke recreationally, but when I switched to grow my own, I managed to rid myself of all of the pain meds and have lost 4 stone in weight. So I suppose Green Bear would have had the opposite problem to you because of his medication. He was putting on a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So he would have been overweight. But he's saying here, thanks to being able to kick a lot of the pain meds and growing his own cannabis, he's now able to kind of be managing his condition there. And I suppose, as you were saying, he's not burdened with all those fucking costs that come with buying cannabis off the black market.
Yeah, I was just going to use the toilet for a second, but if you want to play a fun game, there was a drug I was put on called pregabalin.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of pregabalin?
I've heard of pregabalin, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to search up some of the effects of that? And I can like point out to you which ones I had while I go to the toilet. And like, this is literally just an argument for cannabis. Pregabalin?
Yeah.
Literally psychotic drug, like mental. Like, never again, would not. There's an interesting documentary about people in Northern Ireland getting addicted to it because of the bombings that occurred in the 90s, and doctors prescribed it, and then a lot of people got addicted to it. Horrible side effects, man. I'll be back in 2 seconds.
No panic at all. Take your time there. I'll have a quick look at what's coming up here for the side effects of pregabalin. What's it used for? What are the side effects? So the common side effects of pregabalin include dizziness, sleepiness, trouble concentrating, blurry vision, dry mouth, right? That's the same as cannabis. Weight gain and swelling of your hands and feet. Some of the more serious side effects then include serious allergic reactions. These reactions may be life-threatening. Symptoms can include a swelling of your face, mouth, lips, gums, tongue, throat and or neck, trouble breathing, a rash or hives or blisters, suicidal thoughts or actions. Symptoms can include thoughts of suicide or dying, suicide attempts, new or worsened depression or anxiety, feeling agitated or restless, panic attacks, trouble sleeping, new or worsened irritability, acting aggressive, angry or violent, acting on dangerous impulses, episodes of mania, other unusual changes in behavior.
Oh, words to my symptoms. Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Or these are your symptoms, yeah. And then they go on.
Yeah, no, I heard on the headset,
fuck, there's like some serious side effects.
Suicidal thoughts, anxiety. Like mood swings, just like within like seconds, like I was just like happy and then livid and then like just state. To be honest, like I was just like, I'd break down crying. Like it's, these meds, they're not like candy, man. They have serious effects. And I had serious effects on those meds. Amitriptyline, I got like very racy heartbeat. But the pregabalin was the worst, man. I felt like a lunatic. Like my thoughts would be super racy. And the worst effect I've had from weed is panic attacks.
Really?
And
yeah.
AYD. That's it. Like, but the panic attacks I've had less than 10 of them. Like, I think half of that is just, it's illegal. The pregabalin, man, that shit.
What would it mean?
Like, I also put on 4 stone in weight. As well, like the person in chat was saying, and like it was the first time I had ever had a belly in my life.
No way, you just got bloated around the waist, so it was all kind of abdominal waist that you gained.
Do you know what they prescribe for neuropathic pain? Is it's all antidepressants, man.
You were saying that a lot it's of SSRIs.
What antidepressant can we pump into your body?
And again, you're just an old guinea pig in all of this. They don't really know what is going to work, and it's just like, here, try this.
And pregabalin is it's not made for neuropathic pain. It was just something done on the side where it was a
off-label use again.
Wait, you're on pregabalin for the past 8 years for anxiety? It depends on the person, man. The effects aren't the same for everyone. That's why there's a curve, a distribution of effects. Some of them are rare, some of them aren't.
Yeah.
And certain people have rare effects to drugs. Like, yeah, there's got to be someone who has the effect, or
that's why it's
like
called
other drugs
possible.
I've taken and been fine.
Well, that's why it's called possible side effects. Not everybody experiences them. For some people, like pregabalin probably works great, and that's again what I said earlier on in the show. Like, there's these things can coexist, and it's down to the individual and the freedom of choice. For yourself, you would have experienced some of these harsher side effects and also not experienced what they were supposed to be doing, which was helping you. And meanwhile, cannabis helped, and they weren't going to let you use that. Yeah. And they don't want to let you use that, like, because there's not enough evidence there. But then you look at all the possible side effects of these other drugs they're allowing you to have, and it's like, come here, in fairness.
Like, they're like tramadol as well. I've taken tramadol, and tramadol you would think would knock out pain, but tramadol isn't good for knocking out neuropathic pain.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could say I've taken tramadol. Tramadol hasn't helped. Tramadol isn't targeted towards the type of pain I have.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I knew a girl once who used to love taking tramadol. That was her drug of choice. She would drink wine and take tramadol, and she used to get a great buzz out of it. She used to be prescribed it.
I had a buddy who did that as well, yeah.
Yeah,
not good though.
No, not good at all. Like, and the doctor was kind of complicit and just prescribing it, no bothers at all. It was quite easy for her to get it, just go down and be like, oh yeah, I just have some pain, and there you go.
These things shouldn't be prescribed lightly. Like opiates have their place in medicine, but again, they should be like the last tool you use in your belt, like in your arsenal to treat something.
Mm-hmm.
Should be an opiate. I get why the pain specialist is trying to put me on antidepressants and stuff like that. Thing is though, is like some of them have bad side effects, some of them like don't have any side effects. It's just I'm left with nerve pain while I'm going through the course of titrating up and then being taken off them when they don't work. So it's like they have no effect, but just no beneficial effect either. So
yeah,
it's I get why they want to push the antidepressants, but also it's like I have a drug that works. Why I shouldn't have to, after all the scientific research that has been done showing that it can be used for neuropathic pain,
mm-hmm.
If they want to test all the other drugs, I mean, but they've tested so many already. Like, yeah. I went through with the neurologist, it was like 20 something. If they want to go through the last remnants of them and go, okay, we'll give you this while you smoke cannabis, fine, but why should I have to suffer while I wait to find the magic drug? So Tegretol only has a 20% chance of working on someone with neuropathic pain. 20%.
Jeez.
Pregabalin has a lower percentage of working. There was a couple of papers I was reading. When they say, oh, it's used for the treatment of something. Yeah. Some of these drugs don't have high success rates. Like, it's just when they work, but... Yeah, it's not going to work.
Even cannabis has its limitations. There's certain people who don't get relief using cannabis. I think it's certainly been, I don't know, is it like over 60% effective or something like that? Was one of the numbers that I've seen thrown around there for helping with neuropathic pain. Again, not all the time, but it certainly is a lot of the time shown to be more beneficial. And knowing what I know, I would much prefer to be using cannabis before using some of those drugs that you've mentioned there, just mainly because of the toxicity on the body that's going to happen there. Like some of them, if you're on them for long periods of time, that's going to be detrimental on your poor old liver. No thank you.
The other effective drug they could give me is steroids, but they just flat out refuse to give me them because they're like, oh, your adrenal gland. Mm. It's like, okay, fine. It's like either give me the cannabis or give me the steroids. I'm willing to push. I push my body so hard in those steroids. Like I was on them for ages, sores in the back, bruising, showering. Like I would still go back and take them again. I don't care. I don't want to be in pain. Like I've literally spent nights up crying. You've no idea how bad it can get. Like,
yeah.
It's literally just because I'm functioning now because I smoked with Martin before the podcast. Like, that's literally. So the other thing is like people say, oh, it makes people antisocial and stuff like that. It's like, this is the most social I have ever been like since this happened, because when you're in pain, you're depressed and you don't go out, right? The only thing that stops me from going out is I'll smoke and then I'll be fine for a few hours and then something will upset this. And it's like, I just have to pop back home to smoke to come back out.
Yeah.
But I'm more out. I'm more active now. I'm not like as recluse.
Of course.
people go, oh, it's going to make you more reclusive or whatever. But it's like, the only reason it's making me reclusive is I have to come back home to smoke, to go back out. Yes, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. I know of people who've actually given up smoking in the past because they didn't like it, because a lot of their friends went out to the pub and that's what they like to do. They wanted to go with their friends then as well. So they ended up just giving up cannabis. And do you know what they ended up doing? Taking up drinking. And you know, they're not doing any better now. They've aged fucking terribly, thinking of the people I'm thinking of. And that's, you know, that's not a dig at alcohol at all. Like, but look, everyone to their own. I would have reckoned, should that person have been afforded
an opportunity. We could have a huge dig at alcohol if you want. If you want the why have we grandfathered in this drug that can literally your body can ingest too much of it before it realizes, oh, I need to get rid of this puke. But it's like, I've ingested too much. Death. Yep. Like, we can shit in that for a second. We can take the time to just pause, reflect on alcohol is legal, and we are a country that glorifies the consumption of alcohol.
So why is it so hard to accept this other drug?
Who smoke. And like, what was it? I saw, do you ever watch TLDR?
No, I don't. I think I have.
It's a UK channel. So when I watch the news, I watch Martin, I watch TLDR, and I watch Minority Report, Future Crime Unit here, Majority Report. They're kind of progressive channels. TLDR is like neutral, but it's this UK based one. And they were talking about weed. You're talking about when it was legalized in like Washington and all that 10 years ago. And they're like, oh, when they decriminalize weed and all that there, it's like police solving crime rates like drastically went up because they're not wasting time solving marijuana crimes. So, you know, we've grandfathered in this drug, alcohol, which can kill you. We glorify it. And then we, persecute people who smoke cannabis and waste a load of money doing it. So I just did want to take a second just to recognize we are a country that glorifies alcohol.
Yeah.
And smoking cannabis, not the best. We should probably vape it, but you know, not everything is perfect.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Not everything's perfect, but it is laughable. All right. You know, as a country that has glorified alcohol in the ways in which we did, you know, the harp, I suppose, really the symbol of Ireland in a way, like I remember it was on the potent stuff, but that's on the Guinness logo, like, do you know what I mean? Like that's the you know, and we kind of celebrate our Irishness around drink. Then as well, you know, there's Patrick's Day, and we've the kind of, you know, oh, it's Irish to go drinking to the pub. And
Ireland and the UK, we have the highest rates of like violent crime while drunk.
Yeah.
In like Europe, right? They're coming after people who smoke weed. A person who smokes weed is too lazy to get out of bed sometimes. They just want to, like, they smoke weed and they're like, oh, I'm a bit lightheaded. They'll take a nap and they're like, oh, I'm chilling. Like, you know, people on nights out, they can be rough, man. You ever met someone who's like smoked the bowl and been like, had the energy to want to fight you that viciously? I haven't.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's just me and I'm just like, oh, I just want to sleep sometimes. But like, that's when I smoke too much. Like, it's just, I wanted to stop for a second and focus on alcohol. It's just, we grandfathered it in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, oh my God, it makes me so mad, man. So mad.
Yeah, but it is what it is. Look, I wouldn't ever kind of want that to be taken away from people. And I think that's important to say that as well. You know, we can accept alcohol in our society for the good and bad it brings. Why can we not accept cannabis in the same light? You know, cannabis is not perfect either. I'm saying it's perfect, but look, it's fucking a lot better than alcohol. That's for sure, boy.
Yeah. Edward Snowden said you can't have like total freedom if you have total security.
Mm.
So there has to be a certain amount of risk we all accept with society. Like, we all want to go through the TSA airports of a million metal detectors and have the lines take 10 hours? Or do we want to take down like and not go through 10 hours of, you know, TSA lines? And it's like, how much risk do we want in society? There's no risk with cannabis, really, though. Like, we're minimizing the risk. We're taking like a revenue source from criminals and we're putting it in the hands of me. Like, would I really call someone who grows it in their house to like make a bit of money? And like, or make it for chronic pain. But I call that person a criminal. Well, technically, yes, but really, no. I'm talking, we're taking the money away from like these large gangs that like, you know, make a lot of money off of selling cannabis.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah, it would be very good.
The people who like, the small growers, man. The heroes in this tale, the unsung heroes. Should all smoke up for them.
Russell, I'm just thinking there, I don't want to be eating into too much more of your evening, and I don't have too many more questions actually left for yourself outside of your application. You were on about it there earlier that it is going to be going in now. Well, hopefully. Has that process started yet now, or are you just beginning it?
So we're just beginning it. So I had a meeting with my neurologist down in Bantry 3 months ago, and they wanted me to go up in the Tegret Hall. And they wanted me to see if that was working. And I was saying, like, I physically cannot afford the license right now. I was warned about how expensive this thing was. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't afford it right now. When I start working, I want to go for license. And he was like, okay, try the Tegretol at the moment. And I was like, okay. And I've been a good boy. I've done my Tegretol. Yeah. And it just makes me sleepy as hell, man. Yeah, that's okay. It. Like, I wake up and I feel like I have like lead just holding me in bed.
Oh, jeez.
When I increase the dose, it's like you have like 5 days of just like, I can't get out of bed. Like, it's very, but I'm on like 700 milligrams at the moment. So it's pretty high.
And what's the reason behind increasing the dose? Is it not effective at relieving the pain? So
400 milligrams is for epilepsy. Yeah. And then 600 to 800 is for neuropathic pain.
Okay.
But you just can't give someone 800 milligrams or 600 milligrams off the bat. Like,
you have to titrate it.
Concom 1 or like just other effects. Like, so they just titrate it up over the course of months, and then they let you stay at that level for a bit and see how it benefits you. And I've gone days without smoking just to see, like, oh, is it doing anything? No, nothing. Like another dead end drug. So it'd be great if I could just take a pill. Because I wouldn't have to go back to it multiple times a day.
Yeah, fair enough. If you were able to get a license, the ministerial license, and let's say you weren't able to afford the medicine, would you then be willing to maybe go and just grow your own cannabis, having the license at hand then, I suppose?
It's like you just can't get risk getting kicked out of your place, can you, man?
Yeah, that's it. Like, even with the license, that's very interesting, all right? You know, you have a license to be able to get this medicine, but still you're not able to kind
of
produce it yourself.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I've committed academic suicide today. So it's like I'm trying to limit the amount of... But like, it would be handy. Like, it'd be great if I could grow my own plants, and I could just like, the background here would just be loads of plants. it would be great, you know, because it would just minimize the cost for me. And is it Alicia Mahers as well? Like, she had to leave over the cost of the program and just not being able to get it. So it would be great. I just wouldn't do it. It's just too dodgy, you know. That's why the growers are the unsung heroes.
Yeah, it's kind of just a weird notion to think of. You have a license to possess this thing. Somebody else, though, has to grow it and ship it over to you, you know. It makes very little sense at all to me. The cost is prohibitively high. You can't afford it. So, you know, it's like, what are you supposed to do then? You know, how many people are just like out there right now growing their own cannabis because it provides medicine for them, and it's a cost-effective way in which to do it as well. And they're all at risk now of having their door kicked in and being dragged before the courts. I know there's many of them out there who are doing this, and they're risking this. And it's very unfortunate that they're still stuck in this fucking situation. It's fucking even more unfortunate that people like yourself are being used like guinea pigs. And when you're asking for help, legal access to this fucking plant, they're not allowing you to do it. And then you'll be dragged before the court. Like, you're talking about committing academic suicide here now. That's a ridiculous...
Yeah, but it's just like, you come on and like, okay, so these places are meant to be like progressive or like take all the ideas into, you know, perspective or whatever and look at them like unbiased, but we live in a very conservative country, my friend. Like,
I know it is ridiculous like that is the case, because again, you know, all of the work that you've done in the past, because you haven't got to where you've got, by no easy means. You know, you've accomplished and you've achieved things in your life. And now, as you're saying, you know, I'm committing academic suicide. So, like, basically every single achievement that you've done up until now, well, there's people out there that would be willing
to completely hate this.
No, but they're willing to completely overlook every single achievement of Russell. Russell now is only and forevermore going to be defined by this one expression of his. Meanwhile, we'll ignore the 999 other amazing expressions of Russell. You know, that's such a backwards way for our society to be.
I don't want to make this my defining factor either. Like, I don't want to be the scientist that comes on your podcast and is like weed is fine, lads. Reefer madness. Like, why do I gotta be the scientist that comes online and like dispels the reefer madness myth? You know, well, you're doing it as well, but it's like,
yeah.
Why is it gotta be me? I don't want to be the one that does it. But like, no one else is doing it. Like, well, you've had 32 people beforehand who have actually done it. But it's not like I want this to be the defining trait of me. I've done more stuff.
That's what I'm saying. It's probably one out of 999. It's just a very small part of who you are. In fact, it wasn't even a part of who you are until you actually had an essential requirement for it in order to provide a better quality of life and actual to treat a condition that you had. And that's unfortunate.
If it was legal, it would be less a part of my life because I wouldn't have to like spend so much time looking to source it.
Yeah.
It would be less an aspect of my life.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Oh, man.
Can we go into something, I suppose, before I'll let you go then after this next kind of question?
No problem.
Your background is a material chemist. Is that the right way?
Yeah,
material chemist.
Yeah,
excellent.
That's it, yeah.
So you were talking earlier on, you were telling me about some of the materials that you would have worked with, Kevlar, like the spider silk and things like that.
Stuff. That's the kind of thing a materials chemist would work with, yeah.
Okay, so would you have much knowledge in the back into the applications of hemp then, I suppose, as a material, or would you have looked into that at all as a possible?
I haven't looked into it much, but it's just because I've heard that it can be quite difficult to process, so it's something I haven't looked into too much. The kind of materials I'm interested in are like waste materials, so you know, like crab shell, like after someone's eaten crab shell, like you convert crab shell to chitin. You extract chitin and then you'll convert that to chitosan. Mm-hmm. The reason you want chitosan is it's easy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But in that conversion, you actually make it more environmentally unfriendly.
Okay.
Because the chemicals used to convert it, like, so you have cellulose as well. You think cellulose is green. Then you have cellulose nitrate and acetate and all that, and all the variations of cellulose, which are as bad as plastics, essentially.
Okay.
So I kind of try and keep my remit in what materials can I make green, but keep the process green, but try and make things similar to what we have now.
Okay.
So my favorite project I worked on was making butterfly wings out of metal using like biopolymers, like mixing them together and making like hexagonal patterns. That was my favorite project. The one before that was we used E. coli, genetically engineered E. coli, to produce these proteins that were like spider silk, but it came from a fish called a hagfish.
Yeah.
So they're like threads that are 100 times thinner than human hair, and they're like elastic, antimicrobial, 10 times stronger than nylon. And the fish will like secrete it when a shark bites it with like ooze around it. These threads like give the ooze cohesency.
Yeah.
And it's to clog the gills of sharks, man.
What?
And it's like not like they've never recorded a shark like killing a hagfish, which is really cool. Like out of all hundreds and hundreds of like video footage of like shark attacks and hagfish, they've never seen a killing one.
Jeez.
So yeah, these threads, I was like using genetically engineered E. coli to make like the building blocks of these threads and then assemble them outside the E. coli. That was in the first year of my PhD.
I'm just looking at what a hagfish looks like there, man. There's some weird looking creature.
It's a mouth. I described it. It's like a vagina with teeth. Its mouth is horrific. They'll latch onto the sides of dead whales, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking horrific.
Such a weird looking thing. I'm going to pop it up on the screen there, see if I can show it to the people out there.
Horror. No, you have to like warn people before you show them a hagfish. Like, if it depends on the photo, depends on the photo you show them, because some of them could be like filtered by YouTube. It's the mouth one.
It's the mouth one. Look at all those teeth. That's a crazy looking thing. Holy crap.
It's to latch onto sharks, onto the sides of them.
Yeah, and there's actually this one. Then this is looking at the material you were on about there, is it? The U.S. Navy's New Wonder material is synthetic hagfish slime.
That's a car crash down there, the New York Times. There was a car crash with the...
Holy shit.
Someone was transporting a shitload of a man. And they all just like went at once, man. It was a...
Oh, man.
I laughed so hard when that came out.
It just would remind me of what one of those fucking boots must look like over in Amsterdam. You know, those little wank bank boots.
Oh, God. Man, they use this in, I can't remember what country, but they use it to emulsify soup to like thicken it up. No but way. The hagfish will like defecate and puke into the water when it makes that stuff because it's scared.
Yeah.
So when it's getting used over there, there's like bits of like...
puke and feces.
Like puke and fecal matter in the soup. Yeah, kind of similar to lampreys, but oh man, they're horrific. If you look at the thread, if you search up hagfish skein, skein,
yeah,
it's actually really pretty. So it's one of these threads like wrapped up, it's like a self-assembled little bobbin kind of thing. Fact. So if you just type in hagfish skein, and these are like produced in hagfish cells with this water-soluble glue around them, and they're just really cool to look at. It's a really weird creature. It's the only fish with like a jawbone as well, I think.
What?
Or a skull? Is it the only fish with a skull? It's one or the other. It's a really weird fish.
Jesus, I know.
I think it's skull.
Just trying to get that up on the screen there now for everybody else to see it out there as well. Not sure why I can't get it up there now at the moment. All right, I'm gonna have to abandon that. When I put up the screen share there, actually,
no problem.
Froze for everybody outside. Oh, there it is. Stop screen sharing. Now everybody can see us again. Apologies for that, guys. I would definitely recommend go check out those hagfish or whatever they were called. Sorry.
Yeah.
Now I see if I can get us back up in the screen. It seems like that. There we are. We're back. I think.
Hey.
It's still frozen on my side though for some reason. I'm not too sure why about that.
Oh no, it's definitely frozen. Everyone is going like, I see nothing. The pick is frozen.
Yeah, that happens. All right, that was my bad.
Definitely frozen.
Oh sweet, it's back on my side. Everything's good. That's the job. All right.
Man, why is it this the part of the convo? This is the part of the conversation they decide to censor.
I know.
Like, this is the part of the conversation they decide to censor, but like all my stuff beforehand shitting on the Irish government and the healthcare system, they're fine with like leaving that in there, but like this, the hagfish, we must censor the hagfish.
Tell you, why that's the US Navy, why do they want their secrets getting out there?
Oh no, man, I'm definitely on a watch list now, man.
All right, so I will leave it at that, because it's been an absolute pleasure to be able to chat with you, Russell, and I'm sure we'll be able
to be on,
and I'm sure we'll be able to catch up again into the future, because once you get that application rolling, I would like to be able to hear how that's going for you.
Yeah.
And if it's to be approved as well, you know, that would be great to hear as well, you know, because people need to hear how this goes on for people, John. So, nice one again for your time.
This took ages to like convince the doctors to get like this far and like to get to the point to see a neurologist. So, like, legit, we need you people to like convert people and bring them to Martin's channel so he can. We need one figurehead that can organize protests and rallies, and we don't need to be interdispersed like different factions. We need one cohesive unit. So like a polling, we need a voting block, essentially. Yeah. So you all need to like bring more people in here, like just convert them, drag them in.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we'll make Cork the hub for this.
Yeah. Yes.
Tell you, man, it could happen.
It definitely could happen, and I foresee it happening as well very soon. There's a lot of people out there as well saying thanks very much as well for coming along. A lot of people are saying that it was a great interview, and Podge is saying to stay safe, and it was a pleasure watching as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, so a lot of people out there enjoyed the conversation this evening, and I enjoyed being able to share the show with you as well. So thanks very much for your time. It's
great meeting up with you as well today.
Excellent. So to everybody else out there, I suppose we will say our goodbyes. Again, guys, if anybody else would like to join me here on the podcast, such as Russell has, if you'd like to share your story, guys, I'd be more than willing to do that. But you just drop me an email there, and we'd be able to arrange something. So have a nice
strength in numbers, man.
Exactly. United we stand. Have a nice evening, everybody, and we'll be back tomorrow with some 420 news. If I am late tomorrow as well, guys, just to give you a heads up, I might be stuck in bloody... The guards got me. I might be stuck in college a little bit longer. We have a hospital appointment there in the morning, so I don't get into college until a little bit later in the evening. So I might be just a little bit late getting back, but I'll do my best to get back for 420. So yeah, see y'all tomorrow, guys. Stay blazing. Bye. Keep our lid out there. Bye.
Hey, good luck.
Sorry, no. And there you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed that chat that I had with Russell Banta. Again, as I said, that was recorded live, so it was a little bit different to some of the other podcasts that I've released in audio form. But nonetheless, I hope you enjoyed it anyway, and I hope it was somewhat enlightening for others out there who might be in similar situations than Russell, or also other people who don't find themselves in that situation, and you just don't know what it's like for a patient. So I hope this was insightful for you also. Guys, again, just to remind you that if you want to support the show and support the fight for cannabis legalization, don't forget about the patreon.com/Martin's World, and also the link over on martinsworld.ie where you can donate Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So again, thanks very much, guys, for tuning in. I'll be back with more podcasts again very soon. Peace and love. Stay blazed. Keep it lit.